WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bengert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon. I'm Parisa Neruzzi, and this is Taking Action on WPFW 89.3 FM. We come to you every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, bringing you the information and inspiration that you need to take action in our city, to fight displacement, save our schools and communities, stand up for justice, build our power, and hold government officials accountable. Taking Action is produced by the grassroots organization Empower DC. We welcome your feedback and your show ideas. You can connect with Empower DC at 202-234-9119 or empowerdc.org. And before I introduce my guest today, I just want to speak to the listeners briefly about the movement for environmental justice that is really growing here in our city with the leadership of residents from especially Ward 5 communities like Ivy City and Brentwood. Ward 6 communities like Buzzard Point and other Ward 7 and 8 communities who are rising up and demanding accountability from district agencies to address the over-concentration of pollution sources in their communities, the health effects that have resulted from that, and to pave a way towards repair for creating land use changes that support healthy environment and health for human beings. We welcome you all to join us in this growing environmental justice movement. Empower DC is serving as the DC lead for something called the TICTAC. It stands for Thriving Communities Technical Assistance Centers. It's a program funded by the Environmental Protection Agency, and we're part of the Region 3 group, which includes our neighboring states, under the leadership of National Wildlife Federation in this region. And so I ask you, you know, if this is something your community is facing, environmental justice struggles, air quality, pollution sources, lack of trees, heat island effect, poor water quality, any of these issues or more, please go to Empower DC's website, go to the environmental justice page, and fill out the intake form for the TICTAC so we can learn more about what issues you all are facing and what type of support you need. There will be an ongoing series of workshops, and there's one this Saturday if you want to learn more about resilience. What does that mean as the climate is changing? How do we make sure that our lives, our communities are resilient and able to withstand those environmental changes? We have a workshop online via Zoom this Saturday, July 27th at 11 a.m. And we'll have speakers from agencies like DC Department of Environment and the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, as well as local leaders from the Ward 7 Resilience Hub Community Coalition and others. So please go to empowerdc.org on the events tab to learn more and register. And so by way of introduction, I wanted to speak just that minute about environmental justice, because this summer we are dedicating ourselves once again to hosting the Summer Youth Employment Program, having a group of wonderful young people join us as community organizers this summer to uplift environmental justice issues, particularly in the Ivy City community. And I'm happy to be joined by our SYEP team today, along with Sabrina Rhodes and Ryan Linehan, who are the staff leads. So welcome you guys to Taking Action. I'm happy to have you on the airwaves. Let me hear your voices.
Thank you.
So So let's go through the room and just get everybody's name, a quick introduction, if you wouldn't mind, maybe your age and what school you go to. And I'm going to let you all point to each other so you can hit each other, say who's next. But please start.
My name
is Jameson. I currently am 17. I'm going in my senior year at Kipp College Preparatory, right up the hill from IBC, where I live.
Awesome. Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Keenan. I'm 15. I go to Kipp College Preparatory, going into my 11th grade year, and I live in Trinidad.
Awesome.
My name is Maya Lambright. I'm 18 years old, and in the fall, I'll be attending Widener University.
Awesome.
My name is India McDougall. I am 18 years old, and I graduated from Woodson, and I'm currently going to college at UBC.
Congratulations. Yeah.
My name is Joseph. I'm going to my 9th grade year at Dunbar. I'm 14. I live in Iowa City.
Perfect. Thank you. And our staff leads, go ahead. You don't have to say your age. You want to just say
it? I don't mind saying my age. My name is Sabrina Rhodes. I'm a community organizer here in Ivy City with Empower DC, also the ANC 5DO2, and a resident of Ivy City and native to DC.
And my name is Ryan Linehan, Ivy City resident, going on 9 years, former ANC, and 37 years old.
I'll be 57 this year, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. See, we got the intergenerational mix, and again, I thank all of you for being such a big part of this work, and you guys, you know, I just want you to know that we want to be a support system for you as you move forward with your education, with your career, with life. So, you know, that's the goal, is to stay in community with you. This is our third year hosting Summer Youth Employment in Ivy City. So we have a couple returning folks, so that's good. Okay, so you guys have had a packed experience so far, a wide range of activities. I would love to hear from each of you a highlight of the experiences that you've had with us this summer. And if you wouldn't mind telling us why, you know, why was that your favorite experience? What did you learn from it, or what did you gain from it personally? Does anybody want to start?
A highlight I had this summer working with SYEP. When we took the tour with the National Wildlife Federation, when we visited NEP and we smelled the chemicals, I've never really smelled it before, because I've never like really walked over there. But when I smelled it, I didn't know that was in my community, and that's a problem in my community that I don't want in my community, because it's damaging my community. So NEP, National Engineered Products. It's a chemical plant that doesn't belong in the residential side of my community.
Thank you for raising that. And for the listeners, I think we've talked about it on the show a couple of times, but you might have seen Channel 9 News a couple weeks ago. There was some good stories that came out from Ivy City. The ongoing fight to shut down this facility that has been harming the Ivy City community for generations, emitting toxic chemicals. And we have gotten EPA and others involved, but yet this thing is still operating. So we're still pushing to close it down. Please, you know, Google it. It'll come up. Learn more about it and join us and help in shutting that down. So thank you, Jameson. I appreciate that was one of your highlights. Who wants to speak next?
Another highlight that I did with SYEP was we cleaned up the tree boxes and we cut the trees to make more shade and green space. And we picked up the trash that was on the sidewalks, in the tree boxes, and on the side.
That's wonderful that you all did that. In Ivy City, there's not a lot of trees, right? And you have just those cutouts along the street where the city planted some stuff, but they've been just collecting a lot of garbage. I guess there's not a lot of maintenance, right? So the residents are having to do that themselves. But they, you know, they could be beautified. It could be a nice planted in other neighborhoods. You see sometimes that they're, you know, nice and full of green plants and flowers. So it's nice that you all took responsibility to take care of that. Another highlight?
My highlight would probably be our trip to Trinity University. We went to Zook's lab, Dr. Sang, but we call her Zook's. She's a professor of chemistry. And when we went to her lab, we looked at all of the monitors that she had, and it was the PVB ray, the ozone monitor, the purple air monitor, which tracks the air and the particulate matter. And she showed us how she used them, mm-hmm. and what the monitors picked up. I think the PVB ray, it tracks like the dust and the debris and smoke in the air, also like strong fumes, like if you were going passing an auto body shop or a nail salon, it picks up all of the smells and all of the particles. And I think the air check is like this monitor, and it tracks the volume of the particles. And she uses these tubes that collects the particles, and then she goes back to her lab and she tests them to see what she picked up. So it was good to use those monitors and learn more about the air quality and also the what things are being emitted into IVC's air.
So what did we do yesterday with the monitors?
Oh, yesterday we went around with the monitors around Ivy City, and we went up Fenwick Street and New York Avenue with the monitors, and we tested how the level changes when we were around like trucks idling, or if we were by the auto body shop or Profish. Oh, and NEP, and we saw that once we were by a truck that was idling, the levels on the PVB ray went up. And also, I think the ozone monitor went up too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we tracked yesterday.
Did you guys get a chance to learn anything about what the health effects are of some of those pollutants that you just mentioned?
Yes, some of the chemicals that NEP is producing, like methylene chloride and all that, are cancer causing, and is really toxic to be in a residential community.
What do we just learn about fine PM2.5 India?
It also can cause oral health, which was surprising to me.
Negative oral health.
Which was surprising to me because I never thought of that. Because I'm over here thinking about like the respiratory issues or like the sneezing, the coughing, or the unhealthy lungs, but I never thought it could also damage your oral health. Yeah.
That is really interesting. Yeah. India, what was one of your highlights?
When we took a tour down Carmel School with the Trinity Church, it was like these two ladies, Ms. Ann and Ms. Brenda, they were explaining their experiences with Carmel and how it was just neglected over the years during the 70s. They also graduated from there, which was surprising because they still live in this neighborhood, still fighting for their ideal community that they want. And it's like, it's not supposed to take this long for people to be fighting for this particular thing. And I found it intriguing because it shows like how much things did change, but also not in a non-beneficial way as well. And it just shows how people just neglect their communities or just brush us off like it's no big deal. So,
yeah, Miss Brenda and Miss Ann are leaders with Empower DC in the neighborhood. And yes, they graduated, like you said, Cromell School was an elementary school, right? So they graduated sixth grade at some point. I don't know exactly what year it was. But they're seniors now and continue to live in the neighborhood and provide leadership. So I'm really glad you had an opportunity to meet them and hear about it. Did they say anything to you about why the school was so important to the community and why folks were fighting so hard for so long to get it back?
It was because they wanted more like a community space for people to like, for kids and people to play in and just gather around in the community in general. And it felt like it was their memories just being tossed away in a way like that. And I don't think they should feel that way. They were not supposed to feel that way toward the community because people shouldn't like go around and neglecting historical buildings like that, especially it was black, mainly historically black, predominantly black as well, mm-hmm. and highly significant. So that's why it's so important
for
us to keep these buildings in the city.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, what was your highlight? Our last speaker here, our last youth member.
What was your highlight? What was your favorite thing that you did this summer?
Yeah, what was your favorite? What was your favorite experience so far with SYAP?
I think you were saying Dr. Say, but I think Maya had already mentioned it. So
maybe. Okay, that's all right. You can say that was your favorite too. That's cool. All right. What about you, Ryan, and then Sabrina? What have been your highlights this year?
Sabrina, would you like to go first?
No, you can go first.
I really enjoyed Mr. Harris coming and talking to us about he's a locomotive engineer he just got to share his experience and just his trajectory into that profession. He once held a land speed record for the fastest train in the United States. He's a former ANC Civic Association member, a union member. He's done a lot to help provide some safety recommendations to the city regarding locomotives and trains. It was very interesting to me.
And that just for those of you who don't know, listening, the train runs alongside, New York Avenue, which is the border of Ivy City. And so the trains are heavily impacting the Ivy City community, particularly on air quality, but safety as well. So, yes, Herbert Harris and the Brotherhood of Locomotives has been become a friend. And that's great that he was able to visit with you all. How about you, Sabrina? You want to run through a couple of the other things that you all did and some of your highlights?
Everything was a highlight because a lot of things that we talked about and did was new to the youth. Learning how to screen print was great. We're making our own posters for the Environmental Justice Youth Summit, which we will dive deeper into as we go along this program. So we've been making our own posters. Also going to Cambridge, Maryland, which is Harriet Tubman's hometown and the underground part of the Underground Railroad. We were able to take a trip there with the UDC Anacostia campus of students with Xavier Brown. And that tour was awesome because we learned more about what Harriet Tubman represented, what she did, and how she did it. We learned it in a deeper sense. And plus we got a tour of Mount Pleasant Farm, got a watermelon, and it was just awesome. But everything that we've been doing is great. It's been a big learning experience for everyone.
Is the watermelon good?
The watermelon is delicious. And it has seeds and it's sweet. But everything that we're doing is focusing on air quality. And the youth are learning about the toxins that's in our air, the effects it's doing to our bodies, and how we're fighting to have clean air, clean water, and clean soil. It's just in a deeper way. Zooks, Dr. Say, is teaching us how to use these instruments in our community, how readings look, and what we did yesterday. She's going to give us a summary of the readings of the data, and we'll have that soon. But we're doing a deep dive into air quality. It's not just saying environmental justice, those words. It's not just saying air quality, but what affects our air quality, what affects our bodies and skin and eyes and our families and everything. What affects our water? What affects our soil? What affects our food? What are healthy foods? What are healthy food? What is access to healthy foods? Which we get Dreaming Out Loud.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We want to shout out our partner Dreaming Out Loud. And this summer we were able to partner with them with their prepared foods that they're doing now. Yep. Tell me about the meals that we've been having, and I want to hear some reviews from some of these folks.
Oh, the chicken, they got one meal. It's called a brown sugar glazed chicken. It comes with rice and vegetables. That's my favorite meal that they bought. That's a good meal.
Yeah.
I'd have to say the greens were my favorite.
Yeah, I would have to say that too. It was the greens.
I already asked for the recipe, and they would not share, as I understand. That's definitely something I keep close to myself, but fantastic food. Really what they're doing as an organization is amazing too.
They fruit fresh.
Yeah.
Well, the fruit is fresh. We've had a number of things, fajitas, subs.
Pecan ice cream.
Pecan tea and bread ice cream, who they partnered with a local black woman who makes ice cream. So we had chocolate cake and ice cream as dessert, homemade cupcakes. What else, y'all?
Brownies.
The brownies. Oh, the brownies was yummy. What else, y'all? The subs. And the fajitas, yeah. Everything is a square meal. The meat, the starch, the vegetables. The portions are good and heavy. So you can eat one meal in 2 days. But yes. Thank you, Dreaming Out Loud.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I just don't want to encourage the listeners to check out Dreaming Out Loud. And congratulations to Chris Bradshaw and his team who, you know, they've been growing this organization and moving beyond, food access. I mean, food access is the primary thing, but they're doing a lot of workforce work now, creating jobs for people in food prep. And now we're opening a market on Marion Barry Avenue. So that's pretty exciting as well to have them operating their market. So yeah, we're going to definitely, we got such good reviews. We're going to definitely keep them as our go-to for, you know, event meals and program meals. So that was wonderful. I wondered from the young people, have you learned about organizing? Is, you know, have you seen anything that, you know, like what would you say to somebody who doesn't know what organizing is and never really quite heard, you know, learned about that? What could you share in terms of what you know now about organizing? Anybody can chime in. Jameson, were you about to speak?
I was, then I heard somebody say something.
I was about to say, learning how to plan ahead and thinking of the bigger issue and trying to be thorough with your layout of the plan as well, and try to consider the a lot of key things that is going on with the issues, like how to approach it, how to solve it, and how to prevent it as much as possible. Also speak up as well, because sometimes having a voice could make a huge impact, and you can try to start off from that as well. I feel like that's like a huge step as, like, with organizing.
Thank you, India. No, those are great observations. And Jameson, you want to add?
What I've learned from organization from Parisa and Ms. Sabrina is it could be applied to multiple things in your life. Like, it's not just about organization in the community. Like, I've seen how y'all fought for Crumel over the years. Every time it's an obstacle in y'all way, y'all have gotten past it every time. And now we send with $35 million. Towards Carmel, so you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you gotta apply more than it's about more. It's bigger than what it's out on the outside. It's more about how you could apply to other things in your life. Organization could be applied anywhere, whether it's to your schoolwork, or your job, or your community, you could expand it to multiple things.
Well said.
Yeah.
I love that. Well said. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what I think about sometimes is how I'm kind of stubborn, but I've used that as my superpower for organizing. I'm so stubborn. If I know that what I'm fighting for is right, I don't give up. You know, and again, like you said, Jameson, applying that to my own life could be good too, right? I got a goal for myself. Let me apply that stubbornness. Like, no, I'm going to keep moving, right? Sometimes we give up on ourselves easier than we give up on, you know, other people or on communities. And I really appreciate that. Was there anybody else who wanted to chime in about what you've learned about organizing? Okay, no, you don't have to. Or what about environmental justice? Was there anything like that was, you know, sort of new to you that, you know, you think other people might not know about environmental justice? You all have said some things already. You told us about how, you know, you were surprised about how the air quality issues could even affect your oral health, you know, dental, you know, sort of oral health. And I think you talked about being surprised that that chemical facility could be in the neighborhood, right? And so that was like, you know, new information. What other things have been surprising to you? Anything else?
Lack of green space and communities. I didn't know. Well, me being introduced into environmental justice this summer, I've learned a lot of things coming in the factor into what can cause harm to a community, whether it be a heat island, the lack of green space, the lack of access to food in the community. Multiple things is involved in environmental justice, and I'm glad I've been a part of trying to help my community solve the environmental justice we had.
Jameson, did you know that Ivy City was considered a heat island before, and now that you know that, how does it make you feel about how hot it is and like what's causing that?
I learned about it my first year working with SYEP. I believe I learned a lot of stuff that first year, but it kind of makes sense, because like when I was playing basketball and I played outside, whether I was at Ryan Court or the new basketball court that's at Carmel that's been there for what, 2-3 years now? Three years. And you could tell it's hot outside during the summer. Now, you might not, as a kid, you might not pay attention to how hot it is, but you can definitely feel the heat. It's nothing to not play with.
And they all realize that there's no shade. There's no shade. There's a little bit of shade on the playground that we had to fight for. Mm-hmm. That only shades the neighboring wall that's next door to the playground, but there's hardly any shade. And there's a lot of concrete. Mm-hmm. And then what about the business side of Ivy City? I'm talking to everybody. The industrial side of Ivy City, there's a lot of industrial uses that's contributing to the heat.
Yeah, just adding more pollution and just...
And more concrete, right?
Yeah,
more concrete. More trucks and,
And all their emissions into the residential side. It isn't really, it's not good for Ivy City for it to be getting at all this pollution when there's people living here that have to breathe in the air.
And New York Avenue is right
and
here.
Also the trash can cause pollution too. Mm-hmm. It's not safe for the trees or the plants that we have. Mm-hmm. It's not safe for the residents because trash can attract like rodents and stuff, and rodents can carry diseases, and it just starts like an array of problems that arises when it's pollution from the businesses and trash. It isn't the way you envision a community to be. You want a community to get a clean, to have a clean environment, you want people to work together and for environmental justice and make Ivy City better, cleaner, and make the air cleaner.
I want to just take a minute to remind the listeners that you're listening to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM. And we're talking with our summer youth employment participants, our young organizers here with Empower DC. In the Ivy City community and the work that they're doing around environmental justice this summer. If you have a comment or a question for them, you can call 202-588-0893. Again, 202-588-0893. And one of the big projects you all have been working on is a summit, a youth-led environmental justice summit. So I want to hear all about it. What's this all about? What has it been like for you to organize it? So who wants to start with that? Tell us, what's the day going to be like, who all is involved? When is it?
Can you say that one more time?
Yes. So you've been organizing the youth-led environmental justice summit. Tell me about it. What's it all about?
Mm-hmm. It's about us having a discussion about the stuff we did in Ivy City, the stuff that we fought for in Ivy City. We made some posters for the summit. We made flyers, right? Flyers for the summit. And we got to make some t-shirts for it.
Putting together all the materials for it. That's great. Who all is going to be at the summit?
Everybody that's sitting right here, and like Anacostia, I think.
DOEE.
Hey. Yeah, Anacostia, we got War 7, DOEE, UDC, Dream Out Loud, they could be there too.
Sierra Club.
Sierra Club is doing a bottle and can litter contest or a photo exhibit and all of the youth, all of the summer youth organizations that's going to be part of this summit is included in this exhibit. And there will be a first, second, and third prize, which will be announced at the end of the summit.
So Sabrina, tell us a little bit more about it. You guys, it sounds like you have a great coalition of groups who've come together.
Yes, yes. We have in Black Swan Academy, Dreaming Out Loud will also have brain meals. We have the UDC Anacostia campus group. DOEE has a group, a summer group as well. Friends of Anacostia Park will be there. And the Lead and Asthma campaign will be there. Hip Hop for Healthy Hearts will be there. They will be doing a performance. We will have the Lead and Asthma campaign. Tanae and Dr. Phoenix, they will be there on a panel. The Ward 7,
Resilience
Hub, Stacey Lucas will be there. And the Earth Conservation Corps. All of these groups have summer program youth, and we all are getting together and talk about exactly what we're learning over the summer. So that will be part of the summit. So it's a youth-led summit. Everyone is working on their presentations. Youth will be moderators. Youth will be greeters. And also DCPS, which is Anacostia is a DCPS school, so they have their own lunches. That's a lunch location. And everyone just will be discussing what they learned this summer. And it is just going to be a collaboration of different programs, summer programs.
Yeah. It sounds wonderful. And I'm not aware of another one having happened in the past. So this might be the first. I don't know. This might be the first.
We'll find out.
The Youth-Led Environmental Justice Summit. And maybe it'll be the first annual. Who knows? So if listeners wanted to be part of this, I know it's limited in terms of capacity at Anacostia High School. But if you are working with young people and you feel like you really want to try to be part of this, I would suggest that they could email you, Sabrina, at ivycity@empowerdc.org and get more information. Tell us again which day it is being held.
It's July 31st from 10 to 2. And it is, we do have a capacity issue because it's going to be at Anacostia High School. So please email me to get more information and we will figure out a way to get you involved if you'd like to be involved.
And so I'm wondering from the young members here, what has it been like for you to try to help organize an event like this? Is it hard? Is it, easy? Or what were some of the challenges that you guys have faced trying to pull this together?
I feel like having Ms. Sabrina and Ryan helping us is probably easier than it would us doing it by ourselves. So it's like we got a lot of helping hands, a lot of experienced people when it comes to organizing. So I won't say it's hard, but it's challenges sometimes, but it's nothing that we can't do.
That's great. I'm glad you are, seeing it that way, that this is something that we can do. Did you get a chance to meet any of the other young people yet from the other programs?
Yeah, Anacostia High School.
Bay College.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Georgetown Day.
I don't think Georgetown Day is coming to the summer. That was one of the groups that we did had a tour with around Ivy City. But we did have a meeting with some of the groups that are participating. We meet every week to do our planning on Zoom. So when we get together, tomorrow will be our last meeting before we get together and have our powwow at Anacostia next week. So, yeah, everyone is all the supervisors are preparing their youth for the summit, and we will just bring it together. And it is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be, because it's going to be youth led. It's going to be fantastic. And we're going to do this.
What was it like when the Anacostia High School students came to Ivy City and you all showed them around? Did you all find that you had a lot of things in common with their community in terms of things they were concerned about? Or was there anything that they were surprised to see in Ivy City?
I think some of them were surprised about when we were talking about the sidewalks and how they weren't walkable. It was some people asking questions about that, because in their community, some of the sidewalks were kind of small too. I noticed that the Georgetown Day students, they were more interested in, well, not more interested, but they seen it was a difference from Ivy City in their community. So it was a chance for them to get a better understanding of why we talk about environmental justice and why it's important.
I wonder, Jameson, if you could talk a little bit more about the sidewalks, because I know you were with the program a couple years back when you all did a sidewalk study. Can you tell the listeners what you all did and what you found out about the sidewalks in Ivy City?
During my first year working with SYAP, we went around measuring the sidewalks to see if they were ADA compliant. A lot of our sidewalks are not ADA compliant, meaning if I was in a wheelchair or if anybody was in a wheelchair, they couldn't really get around on the sidewalks because they're not ADA compliant.
It's obstructing.
Obstructions. It's a lot of obstructions also. Thank you, man. It's a lot of obstructions in our community, in our sidewalks, like poles, signs.
Right in the middle.
Like in the middle where they're not supposed to be, because, you know, people get lazy and they don't want to do their job, right?
Yeah, that when you all did that study and talked about the results, I thought it was really compelling, you know, because one, you measured, I think it was over 30 obstructions in the sidewalks in Ivy City. And like you said, they were not compliant with Americans for Disabilities Act, So they weren't wide enough, right? And you had the obstructions. And then there's the newer part of the neighborhood where the Hecht warehouse is. And what did you find over there?
Oh, this sidewalk's over there near the Hecht. This sidewalk's a little much bigger than the ones closer in the Ivy City, even though that's Ivy City. But in the residential, in the Hecht, near the Hecht building, in like the Target, the Moms, you'll find more ADA compliant sidewalks.
So how do we get around on the residential side?
We walk in the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that information now is has been provided to the Office of Planning, right? And that they are using that information to inform the small area plan that they're doing for the neighborhood. And right now, the small area plan is out for comments. So if you're especially an Ivy City resident or another person who's interested in supporting the goals of the Ivy City community, you can look up on Office of Planning website, read the draft Ivy City Small Area Plan and provide some comments on that. So we just have about 10 minutes left, and I really want to give you the opportunity to just talk a little bit more about your own personal goals and what, if anything, you need from your city, your community, the adults around you to support you in getting there. And it could be something immediate, like a smaller thing. It could be a bigger lifetime goal. I know some of you have shared some of your career goals, and maybe somebody listening has a job for you or an internship could mentor you or support you in some way. So I want to just put it out there. You never know, right? You never know who's going to be hearing this and and call us and say, hey, I want to get in touch with that young person. So who would like to start? Just share a little bit. What are your hopes for the future? Please go ahead.
One thing I hope for the future in the community is a rec center, and a small area plan to be developed soon. Or start development. I would like for the rec to be built before before I leave for college.
And you said you were just starting your freshman year, right? This year. So, okay. So we're on a clock. We need to get that, you know, in place. As you all mentioned, it's in the design phase. So it hasn't started construction yet, but it's in the design phase. And you all have waited, you know, your community has been waiting 50 plus years to see that happen. So hopefully you'll see it happen and you'll get to enjoy it for a couple years at least before you go to college, right? And then it'll be there when you come back. So thank you for that. Who else has a hope or a vision for the future and some way that people could support you getting there?
There's like a lot of things that I want changed in DC in general. Mm-hmm. In the near future, even if I'm going out of state at some point, I would want like more people to be more considerate and thoughtful on how these issues are escalating. And I just want people to like take care more of these communities in our city. Like, once again, the littering, the negligence of Cornell, or just the negligence in general with these buildings and sites. And also like to touch on like safety issues as well. I want the community to be more safe and more welcoming in the near future, and just hope for like just the next generation to like be able to feel more comfortable going to their schools or just going anywhere in the city as well.
I appreciate that, India. And I want the listeners to know that you're an incredibly talented artist, especially with your anime style. And if there's somebody out there who does that kind of thing and needs a apprentice, maybe India would be interested in that, because I'm super impressed with your artwork. And I know that's one of your interests, right? But I appreciate you bringing up the safety and just the general courtesy and how we treat each other is such an important thing. Who else would like to share a little bit of your hopes for the future?
In the future, I hope to get into some real estate, but right now what I'm like thinking about for the future is development, especially like developments in DC, especially Ivy City, where there's new housing opening up and it's not affordable for the people in the community, and that's causing a problem. So in the future, when I get into real estate, if I wanted to sell someone a house or get somebody a house, I would want it to be in a good neighborhood, and I would want it to be affordable for the people I'm selling it to. So it's just keeping that development in mind and having affordable housing and just the big picture about real estate, because it's not all about making a profit for the house. It's about the people that are living in these houses, and it's not right to move people out of the communities that they grew up in. They should be able to buy homes that are in their community, and they shouldn't have to move out of their community to get housing.
Very well said. And yeah, again, listeners, if you are in the real estate field or equitable development, you need a young protege. Maya's just about to go to college, and you know, maybe you can stay in touch with her and help make sure that she gets the path to do great in that career and be somebody that can help shape those solutions So thank you for that, Maya. How about you, Jameson? Hopes for the future?
After my senior year, after I graduate from this 12th grade year, I plan on either going to college and finishing college, or I go straight to the military. I haven't decided yet, but it depends on how well I do my senior year. Like if I got out of nowhere a 4-point GPA, I might go to college. But if not, I plan on going to the military. So I don't know which branch yet. I thought Navy, but it might be another one.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll wish you well in whatever you choose, but you know, hopefully we can help you get that success rate that you wanted so that you could go to college and figure out what, you know, type of career you want to have. Jameson, you're very bright. Like I'm consistently impressed when you speak up. So, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. And we want to support you. And Keenan, I want to hear your voice. What's next for you?
Well, after my senior year of high school, I'm going to try to go to college to play football.
Awesome.
To try and make it to the NFL one day.
You're a football player, right?
Yeah, I play football now.
Awesome. I don't know anything about football, but what position do you play?
I play center and D tackle for the Kipp College Panthers.
Awesome. So listeners, we got a football star, rising football star, somebody, you know, you want to help make sure that he's got the support that he needs, please reach out to us. Again, I just want you all to know that we're really impressed with you, just as human beings, and then also the work that you've done with us. And, I guess I'll leave it to Sabrina and Ryan. We've got 2 more minutes. Any final words you want to say to the youth or to our listeners?
I just want to say we have a humbling group here. There is more important to them about the health and safety and well-being of the communities they're from, more so than any materialistic thing that they can ask for. You asked them how they can get support, and their main thing is to make sure, because they'll be going away soon. Before they know it, we have 2 that are leaving in August, and then the rest of them will be leaving soon, whether they're going for work, military, college. But when they come back, they still want to have a home to come back to. And they don't want their families to be displaced by either harm from from toxins or anything that's in the air, or displacement just because they got priced out of their living units. So, and that's more important to these young folks here than anything, and you can't ask for more. So just please support Empower DC, support SYP. You can support the summit as well. And just give Ivy City at Empower DC, Parisa at Empower DC, let us know how you can continue to support our efforts.
Ryan, did you want to add anything before we close out?
So well said. To wrap up like that, Sabrina, I'm very impressed with the kids. This is my 3rd year. Hoping to see some of the kids come back. Obviously excited to see some of our grads go off to college, and I'm sure they're going to succeed in whatever they apply themselves with. They're a bright group. I've been very impressed with the dedication and the work that they've done.
And it's been intense.
I know it's intense. And I just want to mention, in addition to Maya and India, who are going to college, we have 4 other young people from Ivy City going off to college. And so if you're interested in, connecting with any of them, providing support. I'm sure we can provide their Cash App or, you know, another way of helping them get the books and the supplies and everything that they need as they set out. I want to thank you all again for being guests today on Taking Action. You did a great job. I enjoyed interviewing you. Thank you to the listeners and everybody in the studio. Stay tuned for COVID, Race, and Democracy. But first, the news.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Vice President Kamala Harris continues to receive support from her fellow Democrats, endorsing her for the Democratic nominee for president. In addition to President Biden and former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, top Democrats Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer endorsed Kamala Harris today, saying they are, quote, brimming with excitement. Harris's team stated earlier today that her presidential campaign has received more than $100 million in donations between Sunday afternoon and Monday evening. According to the campaign, the donations came from more than 1.1 million unique donors, 62% of whom were first-time donors. The first person to endorse Kamala Harris, President Joe Biden, who has been at his Delaware home recovering from COVID, will address the nation from the Oval Office tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. on his decision to drop his 2024 Democratic reelection bid. On social media, President Biden posted that he would speak on what lies ahead and how he will finish the job for the American people. Kimberly Cheadle has resigned from her position as director of the U.S. Secret Service amid scrutiny of security lapses related to the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Cheadle's decision comes after she testified in front of Congress about the incident yesterday and after both Democratic and Republican representatives in Congress called for her resignation. In the letter announcing her decision, Cheadle wrote in part, and I quote, "In light of recent events, it is with a heavy heart that I have made the difficult decision to step down as your director." She acknowledged that on July 13th, the day of the shooting, the agency fell short of its mission to, quote, protect our nation's leaders. In a statement, President Joe Biden said he and First Lady Jill Biden are grateful for Cheadle's decades of public service and will appoint a new director soon. House Speaker Mike Johnson told reporters that Cheadle's resignation is, quote, overdue, adding that they must now rebuild the American people's faith and trust in the Secret Service as an agency. To your local news, in New York City, a free summer program is allowing city students to be amateur marine biologists. The program, which runs until August 8th, has students doing a variety of activities on a given day, including fishing, rowing, seining, and bird watching. There are also many field trips to places like the New York Aquarium. The goal is to get these students to learn to protect and respect waterways and get them interested in careers in STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Luis Gonzalez, the Associate Director for Environmental Education at the City Parks Foundation, which runs the free summer program, says the program aims to work with underserved students. In the D.C. area, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to address Congress tomorrow and discuss a hostage and ceasefire deal with U.S. officials as the Israel-Hamas war continues into its ninth month. Netanyahu's three-day visit into D.C. will lead to some changes to everyday travel in downtown D.C. City police say, and I quote, "The public should plan for intermittent street closures and traffic delays in the area of the United States Capitol and the downtown corridor." According to one outlet, there will be tons of road closures around the Watergate Hotel on Virginia Avenue in Northwest D.C. Some road closures started Sunday and will last through this Saturday, July 27th. In addition to that, multiple protests are planned outside the Capitol, with the largest one planned for tomorrow morning. The National Park Service estimated that at least 5,000 people will participate, as they will be demanding Netanyahu's arrest on war crime charges. In today's weather, it's currently about 80 degrees in New York and 87 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening.